We're doing the book of Nehemiah. We're up to what they call the fifth chapter. Nehemiah is almost at the end of Tanakh. Vatitzakatam unshehem gedola. The nation and their wives were crying. So they're dealing with this challenge. The enemies are waiting to find a way to attack them. The walls are in the process of being built, and people can't work too well. They can't make a living. So the people were crying Elachichem HaYehudim to their brethren, the Jews. V'yesh asher omrim, some of them, as they were crying, were saying, Baneinu v'noteinu anachnu rabim. We have a lot of sons and daughters. V'nikcha dagan v'nochla v'nichye. You want us to sell our kids to you? We don't have food. There were wealthy Jews, there were poor Jews. So the poor Jews were crying, and they were saying, you have to help support us. Do you want us to sell our kids in order to buy food? Others would say, "You want? We'll give you collateral, our fields, our vineyards. We're dying of hunger. Is that what it takes in order to have grain?" And then there were others who were saying, "Lavinu chesef lemidat hamelech. We took loans, and we needed those loans to pay the taxes that the king levied on us. Sidoteinu uchameinu. And now we've lost our fields and our vineyards because they took the collateral, and now we're penniless and without a field or a vineyard. Vata kivsar acheinu b'sareinu kivneihem baneinu." Now we say, excuse me, you wealthy Jews, our flesh is your flesh, our children are your children. Is that what we're supposed to do now? Give over our children into slavery because we're all out of food? So this is where we're at. Some of our daughters have already been sold into slavery, and we don't have the money to buy them back, and we've lost our fields and our vineyards. So these are the complaints that are coming to Nehemiah's door. He's dealt with the enemy outside, he's dealt with rebuilding the walls, now he has to deal with the internal economy. The Jews on the inside are saying, we have a huge problem here. Vayichali me'od. I got very upset. Kasher shamati et zakatam et tadvarim eile. When I heard their cries, and I heard these things, vayimalech libi alai. And then I started thinking to myself, vayariva et achorim et asganim. I started arguing with the wealthy leaders. Vayomera lehem masayish ba'achiv atem nosim. He said, "Masha ish ba'achiv atem noshim. Why are you doing this? There are poor Jews," I said to the leaders. "Why are you giving them loans as a means of taking away their wealth? Instead of helping them, you're giving them loans you know they can't repay right now, and you use those loans as leverage to take their children as your slaves, to take their fields, their vineyards, their homes." Vayten aleim keila gedola. And I gathered the masses against them, and I gathered the masses to yell at the leaders and shame them. Va'omera lahem, and here's what I said to them: Anachnu kaninu et achenu hayudim animkarim lagoyim kedei vanu. He says, what happened here? We spent a lot of money to buy the Jews back. There were Jews who were sold into slavery to pagans, and we bought them back. Ve'gamatem timkeru et acheichem v'nimkeru lanu. When we had money, we used it to buy back the Jews. And now, you're going to take the Jews that you bought off of the loans and sell them out to the non-Jews all over again? Nehemiah realizes that a slave trade is erupting. That the wealthy Jews had bought the children of the poor Jews, and they were prepared to sell them to the non-Jews, to the pagans around them. Vayacharishu velo matzu davar. They became silent, they got embarrassed, they didn't know what to answer. Because they knew that Nehemiah's claim was right. I said to them, what you're doing is evil in the eyes of God. You have to go in the fear of Hashem, you have to have awe of Hashem. And even when the nations shame you, what should be important to you is the fear of Hashem. And certainly now, when you're faced with this challenge, what are you doing with your debt? Think of what Hashem wants you to do with your debt. What Hashem wants you to do is to release the children who you've taken into slavery. What Hashem wants you to do, and this was the commandment before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, is not to hold the Jews as slaves indefinitely. Nehemiah says, I and my friends, we also have loans. I've lent a lot of money, and people owe me money and grain. Nazvanat amasaze. And so I'm letting go of my loans. Nehemiah makes a public declaration. He says to the other nobility, he says, I also am owed money, and I am hereby publicly rescinding all my loans. I'm letting the people go. I'm asking you to do like me, forgive the loans, give people back their fields, their vineyards, their orchards, and their homes. ומאת הכסף והדגן התירוש והיצר אשר אתם נושים בהם. There's so much money that you're in the process of collecting from the poor, and you're collecting it in the form of the food they need to live. I want you to forgive those loans. ויאמרו נשיב. They said, we're prepared to forgive the loans. ומהם לא נבקש, and we won't ask them to pay back the loans. כן נעשה. We're prepared to do that. כאשר אתה אומר, as you're instructing, והקראת את הכהנים והשביעים לעשות כדבר הזה. I called in the Kohanim, and I also had them promise that they were forgiving the loans. גם חוצני נערתי. I shook off my clothes. ואומרה, and I said, ככה ינער האלוקים את כל האיש אשר לא הקים את הדבר הזה מביתו ומהגיעו. As he shook his clothing, he said, Hashem will shake the person who does not live up to his vow, and shake him out of the world, and shake him clean of it, all his assets. So Nehemiah's standing there with his clothing, and he shakes them vigorously, and everyone's wondering, why is he shaking his clothing? He says, you see this? This is how Hashem will shake a person out of the world and shake him out of his assets if he does not fulfill this vow that you've taken upon yourself. Mi beito, the person will lose his home. Umi gi'o, and a person will lose all the assets he worked to obtain. Vechacha yenau v'rek, and he will be shook up and he'll be without assets. Ve'yomerucho la'kahal amin. The nation accepted Nehemiah's curse. Ve'yalelut Hashem ve'yasam kadavar hazeh. They praised Hashem and they lived up to what they had promised. Gam miyom asher tziva oti liot pecham be'eretz Yehuda. Another thing, since the king ordered Nehemiah to be the leader of the land of Judea, Mishnat 20 ve'ad shnat 32 l'artachshasta ha'melech. Who asked this earlier? Yitzchak. How long did this take place? I told you the pasuk will tell us. From the year 20 until the year 32. Shanim 12, it's 12 years. Ani v'achai lechem apecha lo achalti. He says, all those 12 years, I did not consume royal bread. I'm the leader. I'm supposed to have royal bread. I didn't eat it all that time. There was a tax. That was the common tax that everyone had to chip in to give royal bread to the governor. He says, all the years I was there, I didn't accept that tax. The previous leaders would really tax the people. They took from them bread and wine. After taking from them 40 silver coins, they had their lads also oppressing the people. I didn't do that, says Nehemiah. I had a fear of God. I also oversaw the rebuilding of that wall, v'sadelo kaninu, and we did not buy the fields of the people who were building the walls, even though the people who were building the walls were destitute, and we could have taken advantage of their financial state. I didn't do that. On the opposite, I would fund them. I would bring them money as they were working to build the walls. V'chol ne'arai kevutzim sham al ha'melacha. And even all my lads who were supposed to be there to support me were busy working with the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you a secret now. There is a secret to the success of certain communities in Israel. There is the secret to the success, to my mind, of certain countries in the world. And I think the secret lies in this pasuk. When the leader is willing to invest and forgo their own needs and forgo their own honor, that's when a place thrives. To my mind, the reason the United States thrived was because George Washington refused to be called the king, His Excellency. He refused to have a limitless governance. He insisted on having limits on government. He insisted on setting up a system that would last for centuries to the benefit of the people. Because after they kicked the British out of the United States, the people were prepared to appoint George Washington with tremendous powers, and he insisted not to have those powers. Now, don't get me wrong, George Washington had many serious character flaws. I mean, the man was promiscuous to the point no one likes to discuss why he died or how he died or the fact that his next-door neighbor had to flee back to England because he couldn't know what was happening with his wife. So I'm not coming to say George Washington was the greatest person on the planet. I am saying that there are moments, especially the leadership has to make choices whether they're going to be selfless or they're going to be self-serving. And when the leadership makes those choices, very often we see that the area that they're governing thrives. And this is true for communities, this is true for countries. Pay attention, you'll see. When people are very, very focused on taking, that's when places start collapsing. At the founding of the state, people used to pave the road in front of their house. Everyone saw themselves a partner in the development of the state. People weren't busy thinking, how am I going to get the state to come here and fix that pothole? People were busy thinking, how can I fix that pothole? How can I make sure the street in front of my house is paved? When you're busy building and you're willing to invest your own money, then things succeed. When people walk in and they say, hey, why am I not getting the services I'm paying for? I pay taxes. I should be getting more for my money. That's when we start having a problem. Or in the famous words of John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, ask rather what you can do for your country. So it's very nice to say that to the people. The question is also, what does the leadership do? That's what Nehemiah is saying here. I should have had the taxes. I didn't accept them. I should have purchased land. It was a great opportunity to buy up the land. The real estate was cheap. People were poor. I didn't. I could have taken advantage of the people, and instead I funded them with my own money. My lads who were supposed to be there serving me were there working with the people. Moshe Rabbeinu cares for the Jews who are working. He tries to help them as they're working in Mitzrayim. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he sees the Jews being led into exile, he warned them this would happen. He personally went and tried to help each one as they were going out into exile. The great leaders of the Jewish people were there for the Jewish people at their own expense. So that's what Nehemiah describes over here. Vayudim Vasiganim Me'ava Chamishimish. There were 150 people who used to eat in my house. And then there were converts, people who came from the nations all around, who decided they would convert and join the Jews and help them rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. He says, they all ate in my house. Nehemiah used his wealth to feed all of them. He says, you know how much food was prepared every day in my house? One ox. One ox is a lot of meat. One sheep. Six sheep that were fattened up. And birds. They were all prepared for the meal. And they'd have a lot of wine prepared. Enough wine for 10 days was brought to the table every day. And even though I was funding all of this, I did not ask the people to pay the tax that I was entitled to as the governor. because I recognized that the people were working hard. And now Nehemiah says the pasuk that Chazal held against him. He says, "Zacherali Elokai letova kol asher asiti al ha'am hazeh." Rabban Shom, remember all the good I did for this people. Let it be remembered for my benefit. Chazal say you shouldn't have said that. A person shouldn't come and say, look at all the good I've done, remember it, Rabban Shom. Chazal say that's why the book was not named after him, because of this pasuk. And another opinion says it was pasuk tetvav that we read a minute ago, that the previous leaders took great taxes and I did not. He shouldn't have compared himself to the previous leaders. It's enough that he said, I did. He shouldn't have said, they didn't. When our enemies heard that the wall was finished, there was no breach left in the wall. Only problem, we had gates, we had not yet built doors in the gates. So they sent me word. They invited me for a meeting in a place called Kefirim, in the valley of Ono. I understood that they wanted to assassinate me. So I sent them a message. I sent messengers saying, I'm very busy. I can't come. I'm busy doing a lot of work here, and I don't want the work to stop. If I take a break and I come to you, it's not a good idea. Notice the diplomacy. They sent me the same message four times. I sent them the same answer four times. This is one of the rules in negotiation. Very often the other side will repeat the question, and you feel pressured to change the answer. So your kid says, Abba, can I go? All the kids are going tonight. I want to party till midnight. And you go, no. And he goes, why not? And you go, I don't think you should be out till midnight. And he goes, but why not? So now your initial inclination is to explain. If you'll be out till midnight, you won't get up on time tomorrow. And it's whatever other reasons you'll give. Who said you have to give a different answer? Maybe the first answer was legitimate. I don't think you should be out till midnight. I don't always have to give a different answer because they ask the same question a second time. Now we do this. It's our way of saying, I don't accept your first answer, so I'm asking the same question again. Well, if I feel my first answer was legitimate, I don't have to give a different answer. Then the correct answer is the first answer I gave. And sometimes it pays to say, you know, I answered that question, why are you asking me a second time? Coming back to here, so Nehemiah says he sent me the same question four times. I gave him the same answer four times. He sent me the message a fifth time with his lad, and he had a letter open on his hand, katuba, and written in that letter was the following: Baguim nishma v'gashmu omer. It's been heard throughout the nations that you and all the Jews, Gashmu means Geshem, the Arab. He also says, Ata v'ayudim choshevim limrod. You and the Jews are planning a rebellion. Al ken ata v'nei achoma, that's why you're building the wall. V'ata ove lahem lemelech kadvarim ha'ele. And he says, we all know it, and we're going to send word to the king with exactly this message. You've also plotted and planned, and you've had people declare that there's a new king in Judea. We're going to tell the king on you that you've declared yourself king in Judea. So it's about time we talk, because we're sending the king such a letter about you. So I sent him the following. What you're saying never happened. You're inventing them from your own heart. Because all our enemies, all the pagans around us are trying to weaken us and scare us and saying, don't do it. Don't build that temple. Don't build those walls. Don't move to Jerusalem. Guys, does this sound familiar? Does this sound like our day? I'm telling you, I read Nehemiah and I feel like it's today. It's the nation saying, don't move that embassy to Jerusalem. It's the nation saying, you can't rebuild that mount. I don't know what previous generations learned from these texts. But to me, this is like the book. The book of Nehemiah is the description of our days. And it's so encouraging. Because we see that this happened then, and they overcame it, and they built. And they had pauses in their building, and then they continued building. Vata chazek et yadai. All the nations are saying, we will weaken them. So now, why you're going to come and help me? Vani vati bet shmaya ben delaya ben meitavel v'hu atzur. I came to Shmaya. He was at home. Vayomer nived el beit elokim el tocha echad nisgrad datot echad ki beim lohogecha velayla beim lohogecha. Shmaya was a false prophet, and Sanballat and his friends paid him off, and they told him, "You find a way to convince Nehemiah to stop building the walls." And so Shmaya told him, come with me. Let's go into the Holy of Holies and lock the doors, because tonight Sanballat and his friends are coming to kill you. So he's saying, we don't have walls on the gates. Let's go into the temple. So I said to him, you think a man like me is running away? I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies. You think I'm going to live if I walk into the Holy of Holies? No way. I'm not going there. Hashem gave us a mitzvah that a person who's not a Kohen can't go into the Holy of Holies. I'm not going there. Vakira, and I recognized the way he was talking. And I said, he's not telling the word of God. He says he's a prophet. He's not. He came to me and said, I am a prophet, and this is what God told you to do. And then I realized it's not true, and I understood that he was hired by Tovia and Sanballat, and their plot was to scare me and scare me until they would try to get me to stop building the wall. And here we see the psychological warfare that went on then too. The same thing you guys see now. Oh no, if you do that, who knows what's going to happen, right? That's what the nations have been doing to us for the last 70 years. If you declare a state, there'll be a Holocaust, right? So we declared a state, and there was a war, and we're still around to tell the tale. If you take over Jerusalem, what will happen? Etc. Leman sachuhu leman irave seken vechatati. He was hired to tell me these things. He wanted to scare me and cause me to sin. So that they could ultimately ruin my reputation and tell everyone, you see what he's done? So that's what he was trying to do. Hashem, remember what these evil people did. There was also a woman named Nodaya, and there were other people who were hired by Sanballat and the enemies to come in and scare us. You think it's a new thing that there are people from within the Jewish people who have prominence and they say, no, you have to do things the way the nations want. It's dangerous, right? There were all those people who sided with Obama in his declarations against the people of Israel. And they said, oh, it's for your own benefit. And there were people of prominence who did that. And here you learn in Nehemiah, yes, there were people who developed a reputation as prophets. They were all liars. But they had the reputation of being prophets. And they tried to scare Nehemiah and they tried to scare the people to ensure they wouldn't rebuild the wall. Vatishlam achoma, and we did finish the wall. Be'eslimachamisha le'elul on the 25th of Elul le'chamishim u'shnayim yom. Took 52 days. You asked the time. When our enemies heard this, that we finished the wall, they got very scared. They realized they had a problem. Now we're here to stay. And they started looking down at themselves. They said, how'd they do that? They realized it was God sent that we were successful. The leaders of Judea sent word to Tuvia, who was an evil Jew. It's not clear whether he was Jewish or not Jewish. And he sent word back to them. Many Jews had sworn allegiance to him, because he was a son-in-law. Tuvia was a son-in-law to the powerful Jew Shchaniah ben Arach. V'Yochanan beno lakachet bat Meshulam ben Berechia. Remember, Meshulam ben Berechia was one of the leaders, and Tuvia's son had married his daughter. So he was connected through family to all the leadership. Gam Tovotav, people owed him money, people had sworn allegiance to him. He was the big shot before Nehemiah came to Israel. So many people had buddied up with him because he was the leader at the time. Now Nehemiah had the challenge that within Israel, within the Jews, there were people who were working with him. Gam Tovotav ayu umrim lefanai, they'd come and tell me what a good guy he is. Udvaray ayu motzin lo, and they would reveal things that I said out to Tovia. Igirot shalach Tovia liyareini. And Tovia would consistently send letters to try and scare me from rebuilding the wall. Again, we see the scare tactic. You know, that's what happened with the Oslo Accords. They were able to convince many of the leaders that it was much more dangerous if we wouldn't have the Oslo Accords. I don't think we should take questions. We're almost done and we're short on time. So the wall was built. They built the doors. They set up gatekeepers and singers from the Levites. And Nehemiah, we're up to Pasuk Bet, commanded his brother Hanani. You remember, he's the one who had come and given him word of what's going on. And Nehemiah establishes people responsible for the gates, responsible for guarding Jerusalem. And Hananiah, who's responsible for the capital of Jerusalem, he was a person who Nehemiah could trust. He was an ancient person who had been known from ancient times to be a God-fearing person. And so Nehemiah gives them instructions. He says, you don't open the gates of Jerusalem till noon. You don't open the gates till you could see far away to make sure there are no enemies waiting to charge. And whoever wants to go out or come in, you guys stand guard by the gates, and no one could go out or come in without going through you. And you're going to have guards around the clock. Cities didn't usually have guards coming in and going out of the city, but Jerusalem, they knew, was under threat, and they would try to slip in enemies and attack from within. It was a big city, says Nehemiah. There weren't a lot of people. The houses weren't built. The city was in rubbles. And then Nehemiah says, God gave me the following idea. I gathered the leaders. I gathered the people. I said, let's verify people's genealogy. This is one of the great things that happens in the book of Ezra. And he finds a book that records the families. And now he starts enumerating the different families that had come up into Israel. Notice Pasuk Zayin, we see Mordechai. Mordechai had been, Mordechai had left, and now Mordechai, well, we don't know where Mordechai is at this point. And then you have many, many Pesukim here. enumerating the different families that had come up. And we're moving on to Perek Chet, what they call the eighth chapter. So Rosh Hashanah comes around. It's been a few decades since that Rosh Hashanah, they celebrated the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. They've had a few decades of no, right? They had 18 years where there was no Beit HaMikdash. And then they started again under Dayavish. The nation comes back. They come to the place called Shaar HaMayim. And now we meet Ezra again. Okay, remember Ezra? We left him with the book of Ezra. We moved on. Nehemiah was talking until now. And now Ezra says, bring me a Sefer Torah. And this is one of the most famous moments in Jewish history. The Jewish people have gathered for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. It is Rosh Hashanah. We'll read it inside. You guys should know these psukim. Vayavi Ezra Kohen. We're up to what they call the 8th chapter, the 2nd pasuk. Vayavi Ezra Kohen et haTorah lifnei haKal meish v'ad isha. Ezra brings the Sefer Torah, and he wants everyone to see, the men, the women, v'chol mevin nishma, anyone who was old enough to understand what's going on. B'yom echad l'chodesh ha-shvi'it was the first day of the 7th month, meaning it was Rosh Hashanah. V'yikravo lifnei ha-rechov asher lifnei Shaar HaMayim. He stood by the main street, by the gate called Shaar HaMayim, and he's reading from the Torah. Mina'or ad machatzit hayom, from the beginning of the day till midday, neged ha-anashim v'anashim v'anvinim. You have over there the men, the women, you have whoever could understand. Everyone was listening. Everyone was paying close attention. Ezra was standing on this tower of wood that was prepared special for the occasion. Next to him were standing all the different leaders. We're skipping to Pasuk. Ezra was standing above everyone. He opens the Sefer Torah. When he opened the Sefer Torah, everyone became silent. From this Pasuk we learn that the second you open a Sefer Torah, no talking aloud. Ezra blesses Hashem, who is the powerful God. Amen, amen. The nation hears his blessing, and they say amen. They raise their hands as they answer amen. And they bow all the way to the ground in honor of Hashem. And then the leaders and the Levites taught the nation Torah. They were explaining what Ezra was teaching. We're moving on to Pasuk Chet. Vayikra'u v'sefer b'torat ha'elokim meforash. They read in the Sefer, they read in the Torah, explicit. They read, explaining what they just read. V'som sechel v'yavinu b'mikra. They taught them intelligence, they taught them to understand. Our sages say this Pasuk, Pasuk Chet that we just read, this Pasuk is that they taught them tunes. They taught them vowels. They taught them how you separate the psukim in the Torah. You look at a Torah scroll, you don't have tunes, you don't have vowels, you don't have separation between psukim. Our sages say all of that we've had since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this pasuk teaches us that already in the days of Ezra, they were explaining that to the people, the tradition they had from Moshe, including the translation, the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos, the Gemara in Tractate Megillah learns from this Pasuk. All of that was taught. Vayomer Nehemiahu HaTirshata. Remember we said Nehemiah got the nickname HaTirshata. So Nehemiah said, Ve'ezra Kohen HaSofer, Ezra the Rabbi, Ve'alvim HaMvinim Etam L'chol HaAm. They all said to the people, Hayom Kadosh U'Lashem Elokechem. The people were upset. They're learning Torah, and they're realizing that they've messed up. So what they taught the people is the following. Today is a holy day for Hashem. It's Rosh Hashanah. Al titabelu ve'al tivku. Do not mourn. Do not weep. Ki vochim kol ha'am. Because the nation was weeping. Kishomam et divrei Torah. When they heard the Torah, they said, oh, wait a second. We've been messing up. So people were crying. And Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites tell them, no. No crying today. It's Rosh Hashanah. Vayomer lahem, he said to them, lechu ichlu mashmanim. Go eat sweet foods. eat meat, ushtum amtakim, and drink sweet wine. Vishilchu manot le'en nachon lo, send ready-made food to those who have no food prepared. There are poor people. You want to know how you celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Eat good meat. You want to know how you celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Drink good wine. You want to know how you celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Send food, ready food, to those who don't have it. From here we have the word nishlach manot. You see the word manot? Manot is ready food. It's ready to be consumed. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. Today is a holy day for our Master Hashem. Ve'al teyatzevu. Don't be upset. And the final five words of this pasuk ring in my mind so much. Ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Being happy in the service of Hashem is your strength. I believe these five words are a formula for life. Chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Your strength is when you can be happy in the performance of Hashem's mitzvot. Very important concept. How many times do people do mitzvot and it's like, yeah, I have to? Right? Chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem. Your strength is the happiness in serving Hashem. It's really short, Noam. Yeah.
Very short. Who said that? It
doesn't say who the Vayomer Lahem. I think we understand that to mean Ezra, but I'm not sure. Because it's Nehemiah speaking, so when he says Vayomer, as far as I understood, it's Ezra. The Levim silenced everyone. They said, stop crying. Shh. Don't be upset today. So the nation went, they want to eat, they want to drink, they want to send ready-made food, they want to make a big celebration of Rosh Hashanah. They understood what they were taught. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, here you have it, in Israel they had a second day of Rosh Hashanah. The nation gathers to Ezra. They want to learn Torah. They found that it's written in the Torah. Ezra's reading to them, and they hear there's this mitzvah called Sukkis. God told Moshe the Jews should sit in Sukkis on the seventh month. V'asher yishmiu v'yaviru kol b'chol harem v'ushlam lemor. Tzuahar v'aviru alei zayit v'alei atzishen v'alei hadas v'alei tmarim v'alei tzavot. L'asot tzukot kakatuv. So they made it known that everyone should start bringing branches, and we will use them for our sukkot, and also bring palm branches and hadasim. We're going to make sukkis, and we are also going to shake our lulav, etc. So everyone went to gather these branches. Everyone made their sukkah, ishal gago, everyone on their rooftop, uvchatzotem, and in their yards, uvchatzot beit elokim, and in the yards of the Beit HaMikdash, uvichov shar amayim, uvichov shar Ephraim, in these main streets. So the nation returning from exile builds sukkot, and they sit in them. You didn't have a mass celebration of all the people uniting to celebrate Sukkot like this since the days of Yahushua. Every day they read from the Torah. Yeah, every day of Sukkot. They celebrated 7 days of Sukkot, and on the 8th day Shmini Atzeret. So on the 24th of Tishrei, they gathered for public fasting. They were publicly doing tshuva. Ezra told them, don't do this on Rosh Hashanah. So they pushed it off till after Sukkot. After Sukkot, they're divorcing their wives. They don't do it happily. They're weeping. They're crying. And they're saying to Hashem, we've done wrong. A quarter of the day they spent learning Torah. And a quarter of the day they spent praying and doing tshuva. So the different Levites got up and they called in the name of Hashem. and they said, get up and bless Hashem, Pasukhei min haolam ad haolam, from the world to the world. So Hashem's name should be blessed. This is how they blessed Hashem in the days of the second Beit HaMikdash, because there were people who denied there was a world to come. So when they bless Hashem, they'd say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu min haolam ad haolam. Not only Melech HaOlam, King of this world and the world to come, Vivachushen Kvodecho Muamam Kol Bracha Utila. Your holy name should be exalted, should be blessed. You are greater than any blessing or praise. I think we will pick up here next week. We'll have to finish the book of Nehemiah. I don't want to run through this. These are important psukim. So we're almost done. It won't take us that much longer to finish, but we might as well do it right. We are up to Pasuk Hey. We just read Tet Hey.